Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is April 27, 2021. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments in fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Iran's central bank to allow money changers, banks to pay for imports using mined crypto. Elon Musk's Tesla sold Bitcoin in Q1 for proceeds of $272 million. Young Koreans turning to crypto as alternative for creating wealth. Bitmain to release Antminer E9 ASIC for Ethereum mining. Crypto wallet Zengo raises $20 million to grow services and team in bullish market. Bitcoin options market eyes $4.2 billion expiry on Friday. Helium to launch 5G network with blockchain-powered mesh of DIY telco hubs. Anoma Network raises $6.75 million to make exchanging crypto assets easy and private. As Powell heads to Fed meeting, inflation data can only get worse. Now let's get started. Iran's central bank to allow money changers, banks to pay for imports using mined crypto. The bank had previously stipulated only digital assets for import funding could be used by itself and no one else. Iran's central bank is reportedly allowing the country's financial institutions to use cryptocurrency, derived from sanctioned miners, to pay for imports. According to a report by the Financial Tribune on Saturday, the Central Bank of Iran, CBI, has notified money changers and banks of its amended regulatory framework for crypto payments. The amendment means those institutions will now be able to pay for goods and services from other countries in a bid to circumvent U.S. economic sanctions. Some say the local crypto mining industry could generate as much as $2 million a day in revenue. The bank had previously stipulated only digital assets for import funding could be used by itself and no one else. All miners' coins had to be sold to the bank directly, as previously reported. CoinDesk attempted to contact the CBI but did not receive a reply by press time. Elon Musk's Tesla sold Bitcoin in Q1 for proceeds of $272 million. Elon Musk's electric vehicle company purchased $1.5 billion in BTC in February. Tesla sold some of its Bitcoin, BTC, plus 2.55%, stash in the first quarter for $272 million in proceeds. The sale trimmed Tesla's position by 10%, Tesla CFO Zach Kirkhorn said on an earnings call Monday. In the slide deck accompanying the company's first quarter earnings results Monday, Tesla mentioned the sale of some Bitcoin, year-over-year, positive impacts from volume growth, regulatory credit revenue growth, gross margin improvement driven by further product cost reductions and sale of Bitcoin, $101 million positive impact, net of related impairments, in restructuring and other line, were mainly offset by a lower ASP, increased SBC, additional supply chain costs, R&D investments and other items. Model S and Model X changeover costs negatively impacted both gross profit as well as R&D expenses. Kirkhorn said on the call that Tesla invested in Bitcoin to earn yield on its excess cash in a low interest rate environment. While the company continues to deal with global supply chain crunches like semiconductor shortages or ship port capacity, he said the Bitcoin market is a liquid market with an optimistic future. There aren't many traditional opportunities to do this, or at least that we found, particularly with yields being so low and without taking on additional risk or sacrificing liquidity, Kirkhorn said. Despite Bitcoin's perception as a risk asset among most traditional financial analysts, Tesla will continue to accumulate Bitcoin through customer transactions and will make Bitcoin-related announcements in the future, Kirkhorn added. Young Koreans turning to crypto as alternative for creating wealth. Young employees in their 20s and 30s are reportedly leaving the workforce to pursue riches in crypto trading. Young South Koreans are reportedly turning to cryptocurrencies as a means of generating wealth in greater numbers, much to the chagrin of their employers. Many of South Korea's young workers aged in their 20s and 30s are leaving their average-paying jobs to explore crypto day trading, according to a report by local news outlet The Chosun Ilbo on Tuesday. Their goal is to escape poverty and amass enough wealth to buy a home, a dream many young people worldwide feel is out of reach. I face the reality of being unable to afford my own home no matter how hard I save up my salary, said one anonymous worker cited in the report. There is no other way than cryptocurrency investments for me to accumulate wealth. Some employers even threaten to block access to crypto trading websites during trading hours as employees check on price fluctuations continually throughout the day. Many employers are experiencing an exodus in the workforce of young people who are looking to make their fortune trading amid the current crypto bull run. This is particularly prominent in the IT industry, where professionals are quitting their jobs once their trades have brought them healthy profits. The report cites success stories like Han Yung-soo, who reportedly left his employer after 3 years because he accrued over $2.6 million through trading. This is one of the reasons that IT companies have recently rushed to give big pay rises to their staff, laments one team leader from a startup in the south of Seoul. Most employees of IT companies in this area invest in cryptocurrency and we're seeing workers quit after making more profits from their crypto investments than their jobs. Bitmain to release Antminer E9 ASIC for Ethereum mining. Bitmain's new Ethereum ASIC miner will be released later this year, in spite of Ethereum's pending switch to proof of stake. Bitcoin and crypto mining monolith Bitmain is releasing an application-specific circuit, ASIC, miner for Ethereum, another indicator the Ethereum mining industry is doubling down on proof of work, even as its developers gear up for the blockchain's shift to proof of stake. Bitmain released a video for the new Antminer E9, which it claims will do the work of 32 graphics cards, GPUs, the expensive processors typically coveted by PC gamers that are also used by miners to mine for Ether, ETH, plus 5.7%, and other coins. The advertisement says the machines can produce up to 3 gigahashes per second. The best GPUs produce just upwards of 40 megahashes per second. Ethereum, like other so-called ASIC-resistant blockchains that use a different hashing algorithm than Bitcoin's SHA-256, are supposed to reject hashes from ASICs, which are designed to produce hashes for mining purposes only, and serve no other computing function, like graphics for gaming. For example, still, as evidenced by the E9 and other crypto ASICs, manufacturers have found ways around these limitations. Bitmain's product release follows GPU maker Nvidia's rollout of mining-specific graphics cards, a response to card shortages as the crypto market's mining boom has squeezed supply chains and driven up costs for gamers. As miners purchase these products, it underscores a tension between an Ethereum mining industry that is heavily invested in proof of work while its community and developers make moves toward a new network in Ethereum 2.0 and proof of stake. Even as changes are made to Ethereum's design to mitigate high transaction fees, such as the recent miner-opposed EIP 1559 rule that burns a percentage of transaction fees, miners are showing no indication that they will leave this Ethereum chain for the new proof-of-stake Ethereum 2.0 when the time comes. Mining sources tell CoinDesk they expect Ethereum mining activity to continue for at least a year following Ethereum 2.0's launch. Crypto wallet Zengo raises $20 million to grow services and team in bullish market. The funds will be used to double the team size and offer additional services. Cryptocurrency wallet provider Zengo received $20 million from a Series A funding round led by growth equity fund Insight Partners. Other funders include Distributed Global and Austin Reef Ventures, among others. The funds will be used to grow the user base, invest in more assets, chains, financial services and options including our payment Visa card, and grow the team from 20 to 40, said Zengo CEO Oriol Ahayan in a message. With Zengo, users can send, receive, buy, sell, trade, Earn and soon pay with over 50 cryptocurrencies in 180 markets, according to the company. The investment comes less than a year after the wallet launched on iOS and Android in early 2020. According to the Tel Aviv-based company, Zengo grew to 100,000 customers and $100 million in transaction volume in 2020. In 2021 alone, as Bitcoin rocketed to new all-time highs, Zengo added an additional 100,000 customers and $100 million in transactions. Zengo revenues grew 20-fold in 2020, the company said. What excites us most about Zengo is the team, said Jeff Horing, co-founder and managing director at Insight Partners, in a statement. They understand the latest developments across the ecosystem and push the limits of threshold cryptography and multi-party computation. As new protocols mature, the team has innovated with products that enhance the user experience. Multi-party computation, MPC, breaks up long cryptographic keys. According to Zengo, that saves customers from having to write down private keys or remember passwords, and protects them even if their phone is lost or stolen, according to the company. Instead, the wallet relies on facial biometrics to allow user access. More generally, it allows for large pools of data to stay encrypted while permitting information to be extracted from those data pools using encrypted computations. We believe that a true crypto-based future will require solutions that are radically simple, mobile-first, and built on-chain, said Ahayan in a statement. Our approach to security, based on MPC, eliminates traditional single points of failure, and has helped us build an innovative consumer-grade wallet that makes crypto simpler, and also an order of magnitude safer. The company pitches itself as a third-generation keyless wallet built on MPC, thereby removing private keys and single secrets out of the security equation. Bitcoin options market eyes $4.2 billion expiry on Friday. Bitcoin has bounced to $54,000, the max pain point of the April 30th options expiry. Bitcoin, BTC, plus 2.66%, has begun the monthly options expiry week on a positive note, rising from $48,000 to over $54,000. Further gains may remain elusive for a while or unfold at a slower pace, as the max pain point for Friday's $4.2 billion options expiry is $54,000. As discussed last month, call and put sellers, typically institutions with ample capital supply, often manipulate and pin the price of the underlying toward the max pain point while heading into the expiry. Doing so ensures that maximum options expire worthlessly buyers lose maximum money, that is, the premium paid while purchasing options, while sellers or recipients of premium make the most. In other words, buyers of call and put options expiring on April 30th will suffer maximum loss if Bitcoin settles at $54,000 on Friday. Meanwhile, sellers would make the highest profit. Therefore, option writers may try and keep prices around $54,000. Almost all the options contracts expiring will do so at 8 o'clock Coordinated Universal Time, the designated moment for monthly contracts traded on Deribit, which is the dominant exchange for cryptocurrency options. It is difficult to prove whether max pain pinning is real or coincidental because Bitcoin's options market is still relatively small for the expiry to have a sizable impact on the spot price. At press time, the total number of outstanding Bitcoin options contracts or open interest is around $13 billion or 1.3% of Bitcoin's total market capitalization of $1.03 trillion, according to data source Skew. Further, only 77,000 contracts worth $4.2 billion are set to expire this Friday. That's 0.3% of Bitcoin's market capitalization. Nevertheless, traders can benefit from keeping an eye on the max pain, especially as expiry nears. Options and futures are new critical data points for traders. While Bitcoin was up plus 103% in the first quarter, we saw huge pullbacks end of each month, Messari researcher Mira Cristanto recently noted in a tweet thread detailing the effect of max pain on Bitcoin's price. The month-end pullbacks happened as back then the max pain point was well below the spot price. For instance, The cryptocurrency fell from nearly $60,000 to $50,000 in the 6 days leading up to the March 26 expiry, but did not go all the way down to the then max pain point of $44,000. The max pain turned out to be a temporary bearish hangover because the cryptocurrency reversed course after the expiry and clocked highs above $60,000 on April 2. This time, the cryptocurrency has bounced to the max pain point ahead of the expiry. At press time, Bitcoin is changing hands near $54,500, representing a nearly 1% gain on the day. Prices rose 10% on Monday, the biggest single-day percentage gain since February 8, according to CoinDesk 20 data. Helium to launch 5G network with blockchain-powered mesh of DIY telco hubs. The number of Helium hotspots has reached 30,000 since 2019, with 200,000 more in the pipeline. Helium, a technology that uses blockchains and tokens to incentivize consumers and small businesses to run commercial telecommunications hubs, is launching a 5G version of its network. Announced Tuesday, Helium is partnering with FreedomFi, a kind of do-it-yourself tech package for building 5G networks, so that participants can be paid to support the rollout of next-generation wireless networks, effectively by building their own mini-cellular towers. What Helium has so far done with telecoms in the wireless space is almost like Airbnb enabling people to monetize their real estate in the form of a mini-hotel, Helium CEO Amir Haleem said in an interview. Via our partnership with FreedomFi, we've learned there's an enormous opportunity to build a 5G LTE network where every house can basically have a miniature cell tower that carriers can use to offload traffic anytime they're near it. Blockchain-based decentralized economies have widened the gateway into industries in a way that can reward swarms of previously uninvited participants, while also improving the fabric of such networks for the incumbents that operate on them. Helium may be rare among Web3 projects in that it's attracted quite a few users. The firm's peer-to-peer Internet of Things, IoT, sensors which are used for applications like keeping tabs on e-bikes, scooters or smart pet collars have gone from zero hotspots in 2019 to almost 30,000 today, with some 200,000 more already paid for and in the pipeline, according to Haleem. Helium history. Founded in 2013 and backed to the tune of $53 million by the likes of Union Square Ventures and Multicoin Capital, Helium has seen strong growth since first releasing its low-power Long-Fi hardware-based nodes and mining units in Austin, Texas, a couple of years back. The Helium FreedomFi combination will use Citizens Broadband Radio Service, or CBRS, not to be confused with Citizens Band Radio made popular by truckers, a spectrum authorized by the U.S. Federal Communications Commission, FCC, in January 2020. To allow wireless carriers to deploy 5G mobile networks without having to acquire special licenses. Helium and FreedomFi highlight a new use case for CBRS, one that delivers on the initiative's promise of innovation and creativity, former FCC Commissioner Michael O'Reilly said in a statement. Turning consumer gateways into network distribution tools and merging with ultra-hot cryptocurrency consistent with the company's plans may just be the step needed to help supercharge private 5G deployment, O'Reilly said. Now we get to see if the market agrees. HNT meets 5G. While people tend to think of 5G as delivering faster video streaming or making virtual reality more immersive, the biggest benefit relates to how its software-centric architecture will reduce operating expenses and ultimately help billions of people in emerging economies get connected. That might well be the biggest opportunity, said FreedomFi CEO Boris Rensky, adding, in the US we are looking at carrier offload to make the networks bigger and better. But in the developing world, where there is no wireless network, you could imagine a whole universe of entrepreneurs that start their own wireless network businesses using this as the foundation and the technology. FreedomFi gateways are now available for pre-order and are expected to ship in the third quarter of 2021. Helium's native token, HNT, is up 6,845% over the past year, according to CoinGecko, and is currently trading at $16.44. Anoma Network raises $6.75 million to make exchanging crypto assets easy and private. With funding from Polychain Capital, Electric Capital and Coinbase Ventures, the project looks to bring privacy to blockchain interoperability. Anoma, a Layer 1 blockchain in development, wants to help traders move assets across networks with privacy technology and without the need for a base currency. For example, you're able to pay BTC to a friend who wants to receive ETH, Anoma Network founder Adrian Brink explained in an email. Under the hood, the protocol handles the exchange automatically and at the best market rate. Anoma closed its first private sale of $6.75 million earlier this year, the company told CoinDesk exclusively. The round, led by Polychain Capital, included prominent backers Electric Capital, Coinbase Ventures, FBG Capital, CMS Holdings, LemniscaP, Signalabs and Walden Bridge Capital. Investors bought tokens in the Future Network. The project plans to launch a public testnet in June and looks to stand by not relying on synthetic assets that represent the underlying cryptocurrencies. As outlined in the Anoma white paper, there's also no need for a layer 2. A bet on interoperability. The fundamental bet Anoma is making, according to Brink, is built around the idea that layer 1 chains are going to be interoperable with each other, specifically modern chains like Solana, Polkadot and Cosmos that rely on Byzantine Fault Tolerance, BFT. Anoma will connect directly, point-to-point, to such networks via interoperability protocols such as IBC. For example, the Anoma validator set has an account on NEAR and the NEAR validator set has an account on Anoma. When you move 100. Polkadot's native token, from NEAR to Anoma, you move the dot into the Anoma account on NEAR. As a result, the Anoma validator set credits you that 100 on Anoma. Brink said you can now transfer and trade it freely on Anoma and later a different user can withdraw the 100, or a portion of it, back to NEAR. Historically, such assets have been siloed on their home turf, making it unwieldy for investors to quickly tap market opportunities. Privacy specs. When it comes to privacy, Anoma uses a multi-denomination zero-knowledge transfer circuit, which enables different types of assets to share one anonymity set. An anonymity set is the set of entities that may have the same attributes, meaning they're indistinguishable from each other. According to Brink, Anoma's multi-asset shielded pool is a specific kind of zero-knowledge circuit that allows for private transfers of arbitrary assets. It provides a unified privacy set for all assets and as such an observer can't distinguish whether a transfer contained one BTC or one SOL. A zero-knowledge circuit is a method by which one party, the prover, can prove to another party, the verifier, that they know a value X, without conveying any information apart from the fact that they know the value X. Put simply, it's a cryptographic technique that allows two parties on the internet to verify information with each other without sharing or exposing underlying data related to this information. Zero-knowledge circuits are used by projects such as Zcash, for private transfers, Tornado Cash, for building a trustless mixer, and Starkware, for building a fast decentralized exchange. Open sourcing the codebank and launching the public testnet will go a long way towards determining whether Anoma can deliver on its ambitions. As Powell heads to Fed meeting, inflation data can only get worse. Fed Chair Jerome Powell's challenge is to convince traders he's got the resolve to respond to runaway inflation, without actually doing anything. It's a really tricky needle to thread. That's how former Federal Reserve economist Claudia Sahm describes the task at hand for Chair Jerome Powell at the Fed meeting this week. Bitcoin, BTC, traders aren't sure he can pull it off. Considering the massive economic dislocation over the past year from the coronavirus, the current level of interest rates and monetary stimulus appears to be just right, and data on everything from inflation to employment is about as good as one might hope. Powell's challenge will be to convince investors the Fed can maintain the pristine conditions even as the economy reactivates, potentially sparking a surge in consumer demand that could lead to faster inflation. Investors will be watching for any advance indications as to how quickly output would have to ramp up before the Fed moves to taper its $120 billion a month of bond purchases, an extreme form of loose monetary policy, and eventually raises interest rates, currently set at near 0%. It's a key question for traders in the market for Bitcoin, seen by many big institutional investors as a hedge against the runaway inflation that might transpire if the Fed were to lose control. At issue is the credibility and resolve of the Federal Open Market Committee, or FOMC, which is the panel at the U.S. Central Bank that sets monetary policy. The Fed is going to have to work really hard to convince people that they're honest, says Sam, now a senior fellow at the Jain Family Institute. Like, if things get out of hand, they will adjust, they will raise rates, but they don't want them to think they're going to raise rates. According to economists at Bank of America, the second biggest U.S. bank, investors in traditional markets will be focused on whether Powell shifts his language around when substantial further progress will have been made in the economy. The two-day, closed-door meeting starts Tuesday and culminates Wednesday with the FOMC decision at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. The FOMC press conference with Powell is right afterward at 2:30 p.m. The FOMC decision will be closely scrutinized by traders in the Bitcoin market, especially because this year's 90% price rally, fueled by speculation that faster inflation might be on the way, has stalled out in recent weeks. As of early Tuesday, Bitcoin was changing hands around $55,000. It's Bitcoin, of course, where price volatility is the norm, so anything can happen, but the largest cryptocurrency is well off its all-time high price reached earlier this month around $65,000. The Fed meeting follows a string of several weeks of positive economic data. The U.S. added 916,000 jobs in March, far above the expected 675,000, with pandemic-wrecked portions of the economy like leisure and hospitality leading the way. U.S. headline inflation in March came in at 2.6% over the prior 12 months, slightly faster than the expected 2.5%, based on the Labor Department's Consumer Price Index, CPI. Even that result might not be anathema to the Fed, since Powell has explicitly expressed his wish for inflation to average over 2%, at least for a while. Gross domestic product, GDP, the broadest gauge of economic activity, appears to be on a path toward robust growth. Oxford Economics has revised up its estimate for U.S. GDP this year to 8% from 7.2%, said Kathy Bostianchik, chief U.S. financial economist for the forecasting firm. Such momentum means that markets may see a more relaxed and confident Powell on Wednesday, said Stephen Kelly, a research associate at the Yale Program on Financial Stability, an initiative focused on understanding financial crises. If you would have offered everyone on the FOMC the last 6 weeks of data, they would have accepted the deal, Kelly said. If we were in 2019 and CPI was bumping up a little higher in a way that hadn't been communicated, there would be volatility in the bond market. But they've been very clear that inflation will bump above 2%. With the yield on 10-year U.S. Treasury notes around 1.55%, down from as high as 1.7% in March, there's little pressure on the Fed to consider experimental monetary policies like Operation Twist and yield curve control that might loosen financial conditions further. Inflation-adjusted yields on 10-year treasuries, the nominal yield, minus the inflation rate, are at negative levels, said Bostianchik. They're currently around minus 0.77%, down from 0.15% before the pandemic. On that basis, the 10-year yield could climb roughly 0.9 percentage point before conditions return to pre-pandemic levels. In other words, Powell's got plenty of headroom on that front. Even though Oxford projects 1.9% for the nominal 10-year Treasury yield by the end of the year, the numbers add up to near the easiest financial conditions we've ever had, Bostianchik added. The FOMC will likely stay the course on keeping the target rate for federal funds in a range of 0% to 0.25%, while maintaining the monthly asset purchases at $80 billion of U.S. Treasury bonds and $40 billion of agency mortgage-backed securities. It might be a sign the Fed sees no urgency in beginning to normalize conditions, a step taken recently by the Bank of Canada. The path to full employment. With 8.5 million Americans unemployed, there's a long way before full employment is reached. Powell has talked about this, and it's likely to be on the agenda again at this week's FOMC meeting. Lower unemployment could force businesses to compete for the shrinking pool of available labor, leading to higher wages. But higher inflation could also increase the cost of living, hurting the lowest income earners in society. One trade-off is that inflation makes it easier for borrowers to repay debt, some said. It helps borrowers on the reverse side, some said. If there's higher inflation and wages tend to grow faster than prices, that means it takes less of your money down the road to pay back the bank. Most economists, who are rich people, do not talk about the distributional effects of inflation. What makes Bitcoin traders skeptical is the so-called Goldilocks scenario. That everything stays exactly as it is for the Fed meeting this week, rising gradually and in sync. Corporations see increased profits as consumer demand rises, thanks to the Federal Reserve's accommodative monetary policy and fiscal stimulus from the U.S. government. Investors benefit from an uplift of asset prices. Inflation ticks up a bit, but not too much. Eventually, the Fed has enough legroom to remove the monetary stimulus. The Fed will eventually slow down the asset purchases and probably end the asset purchases, some said. The whole point of this is to get the U.S. economy to a better place. If the economy is in a better place, we're in a good place to invest and asset prices go up. Even after this week's Fed meeting has passed, getting there will be the tricky part. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.